You would turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. That will be our first passage this morning. First, I want to welcome everyone. We do have visitors with us, and we want you to know that we are grateful that you've come to be with us this morning. I want to mention that there are the two men that are mentioned in the bulletin that we receive report letters from. But there's another that came up after I printed the bulletin that I received from Mardo from Guatemala, and we have his letter as well. He sends his letter, of course he speaks Spanish, he sends his letter to our son Eric in Pittsburgh, and he translates it into English and then emails it to us. And so I received that last night, printed it out. I haven't posted it, I have it here, and I'll post it right after services so that you can read the report from Mardo from Guatemala as well. You know, sometimes we sing the song, the first verse begins like this, "Swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears?" As we're beginning a new year, we're reminded that this song is so true. Swiftly, we're turning life's daily pages. The years come and go fast, and we wonder, where do all the years go? The days are changing to years. We're already in 2018. It gets away from us so quickly. But you know, as time is passing so swiftly, it is vital that we heed Paul's instructions here in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. That means to buy up the opportunities. As a bargain hunter buys up the wonderful bargains at a flea market, we are to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way. And that's what Paul is saying. Use your time well. You know, the moments that we have are then precious. They're few and they're fleeting. And it is our task to seize them and to use them wisely. But I suggest to you, if we're going to use our time well, it's going to be because we have come to recognize and respect some hard realities about time. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about some hard realities about time. And I want to warn you, this is not going to be very comfortable. It's not comfortable for me as I was working through this lesson. It's something I need, and I wanted then to share this with you as well as we talk about the decisions that we make in the use of our time. Let's talk about some hard realities about time. Reality number one, our time is limited and uncertain. You know, we may think that we have an unlimited supply of time to do what we want to do, but we don't. Let me illustrate it like this. You know, sometimes we think that we have an unlimited water supply. And probably most of us think of it in those terms. We're not very careful about how we use our water, our tap water. We take long showers. We fill up the tub. We let water run in the sink when we turn away. We just let it run and run thinking that we've got a limited supply of water. And the reason we're not more careful is because we've got all of this water. But what if someone set a gallon of water in front of you and said, "This is all that you have for the day, just a gallon of water"? I suspect that we would be much more careful in how we would use that water. Well, time supply is in that way. It's limited. We only have a certain amount of it every day. One of the mistakes that we make with our time is to behave as though we have an unlimited supply. And so we end up wasting it at our whim, just kind of letting it run and using it according to how we feel at the moment. But the truth is, our supply is more like that water in the jug. that water that we just have for that day rather than the water in the tap that runs constantly. We only get so much use, and we never know just exactly how much that is. You know, some may get a 50-gallon barrel of it, and they live 100 years here upon this earth, while others may get just a little bit, not making it out of their growing up years. Many of you, of course, knew Gladys Luna, who lived to be 101, and I preached her funeral. But I have also preached funerals for those who were in their teens or 20s. We don't know how much time we have. And what the point is that time is not something that we have an abundance of. It is precious. It is a precious commodity that needs to be handled with great care and thought. Remember, James says in James 5, chapter 4 and verse 14, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." And we've all seen that vapor rising when water is boiling. It's there for a moment and then it is gone. And the Bible here is describing our life in that way. We're here for a moment and then we are gone. In Psalm 90 and in verse 12, the psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. One thing that is saying is that teach us to recognize the brevity of our days, the brevity of time. Teach us to recognize that we have an unlimited amount of days here. You know, Jesus also understood this. Remember, he said in John 9 in verse 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." He understood his time was limited. There's a time when he would not be able to work. And so he understood the value of the time that he had. So hard reality number one is our time is limited. It's uncertain. And so we need to, of course, use it well. But reality number two is we have more to do than time to do it. You know, how many of us have started out our days with a list of things that need to be done, and then we reach the end of the day and find there's still more than a few things that we haven't gotten to as yet? Inevitably, things don't get done that are on our list. We have the list that we want to do, but we only get a portion of that done. Doesn't that happen to all of us? Well, there are two things that I want to say about this reality. First of all, we need to be careful about what's falling to the bottom of the list every day and ultimately getting bumped. Often the pressing things make their way to the top of the list, and the truly important things are pushed to the bottom and they don't get done. Now, what do I mean by the pressing things? Not things that are sinful in and of themselves. I'm thinking about our earthly chores, like grocery shopping, cooking for the family, mowing the yard, washing the car, cleaning the house, trimming the shrubs, raking the leaves, cleaning out the gutters, building a deck, painting the deck, working in the garden, canning, sewing a dress, repairing the car, taking the car to be repaired. On and on we go, and I could spend several hours listing all the things that are pressing, the things that we need to get done every day. And many times those things are the ones that get to the top of the list and we make sure those get done. But then there are the important things. What are those things? Well, they're the spiritual endeavors such as Bible study, prayer, studying the Bible with the family, praying with the family, worshiping with the family, attending the Bible studies and assemblies of the church, worshiping at home, visiting those who are in need of encouragement, talking to a neighbor about Jesus, etc., etc. These are things that are also should be on our list. But what happens is that because we can't do all of these things in one day, we end up doing the things that are pressing, the earthly chores, that need to be done, we've got to get them done. And then these important things are pushed to the bottom of the list. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Notice He said, seek first the kingdom of God. First, other than what, or above what? These things. What are these things? Well, we know in the context He's talking about food, drink, clothing, the necessities of life. And so what Jesus is saying is that what we need to place as priority on our list, on the things that we do, the things that are important to us, are the things that relate to the kingdom of God and His righteousness and being righteous and being what He wants us to be. And that's what the Lord says, and we all know that. But what happens is that these earthly chores, the pressing things, nothing wrong on themselves, they need to get done, that we make sure those get done before these other important things, spiritual things. But I'll suggest to you, if I place earthly chores above the spiritual growth of me and my children, there will be a price to be paid in grief down the road. And so, the hard reality is we can't do it all that we've got on our list. We've got to make some choices. What choice am I going to make? And then the second thing about this reality is we must not be deluded about the myth of future free time. Sometimes we allow ourselves to deal with what is pressing and neglect what is important because we tell ourselves that one day, we will have more time to do these more important things. When I finish my education, or when I establish my career, or when my children get a little bit older, or when I finish this project at work, or when my kids are out of the house, or when I retire, then I will be freer to be able to do these things, these other things. Well, we must not be deluded or fooled by that. I suggest to you that this may be like Felix. You remember in Acts 24, verse 25, Paul preached the gospel to Felix. It says, as he, Paul, reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. One translation, I think, says he was terrified. But he answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Now, I don't know what Felix was thinking here. I don't know what was in his heart. It may be that he was genuine because he was terrified by what he was hearing. And begin to think maybe more seriously about these things. He didn't want to deal with it right now. Maybe he was thinking, later I'll talk with you about this. I don't know if that's what he meant. We know later, as we read on in verses 26 and following, that he did call Paul to come back to him, but he was hoping that he would receive a bribe from Paul to release him. And that was his concern. Whether he was genuine about this or not, one thing I do know, is that if he was genuine, thinking about he was going to maybe think more seriously about his soul later, that time never came, or at least we have no record of that time ever coming for Felix. Let's not be fooled by the myth of future free time. You know, we never reach a point in our lives where we have all this time on our hands to do the things that are really important. You know, the truth is, if I can't make time for the important things now, my problem is not with time. Let me say that again. If I cannot make time for the important things now, my problem is not with time. My problem is what I have placed on the top of my list. The problem is where I've placed priorities. What are my priorities in life? What is most important then to me? And then also, and this next reality springs from this one that we've just mentioned, and that is because our list is full, we can't add anything to our list without knocking something else off. Because there are only so many hours in the day, and because we are working with lists that are already full, when I start adding to that list, saying yes and committing my time to different activities, then at the very same time, that means I'm having to say no to something else. When I start adding to my list, the question is, what am I knocking off? What is it that's not getting done? Let's go back to the gallon jug of water illustration. Here you're given a jug of water, gallon of water for one day. Now you could take that gallon of water and you could use it to wash dishes. There's nothing wrong, that's a good thing to do with water, is to wash dishes. But you know, if you're saying yes to dishes, then you're saying no to drinking water, using it to drink. And if that's the case, then you may have to reconsider using it for the dishes, right? We're going to have to make some decisions here. And the same thing is true when it comes to our use of time. There's nothing wrong with working overtime and making a few extra dollars. There's nothing wrong in going out with friends. There's nothing wrong with choosing a hobby and working on a hobby. But if it becomes a problem when my time begins to be used by those things and some important things begin to be knocked off of the list. For example, that overtime may become a problem when it means I'm constantly knocking church services off the list. That time I spend hanging out with friends may become a problem when it means I'm constantly knocking off my list events that are important to my wife and children. That hobby may become a problem when it means my Bible lays shut on the dresser in the bedroom. Or I can't remember the last time I paused to pray unto God. Then that hobby, going out with my friends, that overtime then becomes a problem. You see, it's not simply an issue of what I am choosing to do with my time. It is equally important to consider what I am sacrificing in the process. What I may choose to do may be good and right in many ways. But I have to ask myself, what am I knocking off? What is it that I am sacrificing? The bottom line here is this. There are some things that are more important than others and deserve our time more than others. Remember Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These things are the necessities of life. And I tell you, a good example of this is Jesus. And we're about to get to this in our Wednesday night study in John chapter 4, when Jesus comes through Samaria, remember. And He comes to the city of Sychar, and He comes to the well, Jacob's well there. Notice in John 4, beginning with verse 6, it says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour." Now, if you count that according to Jewish way of counting, that would be 12 o'clock noon. And He was wearied because of His journey, no doubt hungry, because it goes on to say, "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." It was time to eat. But Jesus took the opportunity to talk to this woman. "The woman of Samaria said to Him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." And so Jesus talks to her about living water. And she leaves. She goes into the city to tell others about this. Now notice, beginning of verse 31, it says, "In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But He said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought Him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work.'" And He goes on to talk about that work in the verses following. Now, Jesus is a good example here. Is it good to eat? Now I'm hungry. I need it. You know, I need the strength. There's all those reasons why I need to eat. I have an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. Those who are concerned about time realize if I eat here, I'm going to have to knock that off. And so there are times we forego this because this is more important. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that there's sometimes things more important than eating. Yes, we're going to have to eat. Jesus ate as well. But we need to consider these things. And that is, what am I knocking off when I make these decisions? You remember what Jesus said in John 6, verses 26 and 27? This is after He had fed the 5,000. And then the next day He ended up, on the other side of the sea. He had walked on the water, got into the boat with His disciples, ended up on the other side of the sea. And then the other Jews that had heard Him and been fed by Him sought after Him, and they found Him on the other side of the sea. It says in John 6, beginning in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set His seal on Him." Again, Jesus is telling us where we need to place our priority in life. Not on the physical things, earthly things, but He says on that food which endures unto everlasting life, that which is eternal, the things that we maybe don't see. That's where we need to be placing emphasis. It is God's expectation that I make wise decisions about how I choose to spend this precious commodity we call time. I need to be sure that I spend it in the right way, consistent with the right priorities in life. Let's look at the fourth hard reality, and that is we are responsible to use our time wisely. God has given us work to do in His kingdom, and He has given us time in which to do it. And He expects us to make wise decisions about the use of our time so that we do the work that He has called upon us to do. Remember, Jesus not only understood the limited nature of time, but He also saw the importance of making good decisions about the use of this time. We looked at this verse earlier about how Jesus understood that the night is coming when no one could work. His time is limited. So what does He say here? I must work the works of Him who sent Me. He understood, I got to do it now. I need to do the works of Him who sent Me. That needs to be done. That's a priority in life. And God expects us to do the same. Let's go back to Psalm 90 and verse 12 again, where the psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." We mentioned last time it's teaching us to recognize the brevity of life and the value of this time. It teaches us to place the proper value on the time. In so doing, we will use our time wisely and get a heart of wisdom. That's the point. Recognizing the brevity of time, the limited nature of time, we're then going to use our time well so that good will be done. That God's will, God's work, then will be accomplished. And then also in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, that we mentioned earlier, where Paul says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Again, redeeming the time means using our time well, buying up the opportunities, taking advantage of every opportunity to do good. He says, because the days are evil. What does he mean? Well, the days are evil in the sense that they're full of evil. They're full of evil opportunities, full of evil influences. The days are evil. And I'll tell you, if we don't use our time well, if we're not emphasizing the right things and making sure our time is used wisely, then the evil of the day will take control. And in order for us then to make sure that the evil of the day does not take control, he is saying, redeem the time. Buy up the opportunity to do good. Look for those opportunities to do good. And in so doing, the evil of the day will not take control. He is saying, use your time well, wisely. Well, God expects us to be wise in the use of time. We have a God-given responsibility to recognize these six things, and that is that we all have work to do in His service. Our time is limited in doing this work. Many things press for our attention. Sacrifices have to be made if we're going to use our time. Well, we're going to have to give up some things. What are those things we'll give up? Some things are more important than others. In other words, we need to make sure we give up the less important things to do what is important. And we must make wise choices. That's hard. But that is something the Lord calls upon us to do. Back in the song, to the song that we mentioned earlier, at the introduction of our lesson, swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Notice the writer here asks us to consider how we're using God's golden moments. That's time. Because in the end, the writer indicates eternity will be determined in part by the choices we make. That's right. Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? How we use time is going to determine what we reap in the end. And the Bible teaches that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Notice, in the judgment, we're going to give an account of what we've done in this body. And that includes the decisions that we make about the use of our time. What have I done in this body? Have I sought the kingdom of God and His righteousness first in life? Am I recognizing that the food which endures into everlasting life is more important? And am I reflecting that in the decisions I make and how I use my time? That's the things I do in my body. That's going to be a part of the basis upon which the Lord will judge us in that day. And so it is so important that we make wise decisions, that we think seriously about this, because it's so easy for us to do what we want to do at the moment, and it's not sinful in and of itself. Surely I'm not going to go out and get drunk. I'm not going to go out and look at pornography, or I know I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to commit adultery. But how am I using my time? The decisions that I make will determine eternity. As I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, that this is one that's not going to be easy to listen to, and it's not easy for me as I consider these things and as I look at the decisions that I make. But one thing that I believe the Lord wants us to do is to be conscientious about this and serious about this. And I do believe that when we are conscientious and we're thinking about it, we'll make good decisions. And the Lord will be with us. If I make the bad decision, then I can be forgiven of that. I can repent because I'm constantly wanting to do what's right. What I'm wanting us to do is not just to say, well, thrust it off, I'm just going to continue to do what I want to do. No, what I want us to see is let's be conscientious, let's think about this, and recognize we only have that 50 gallon of water every day, and how am I going to use this, and what is most important, and make sure that I make good decisions. And if I'm never reading my Bible, if I'm never worshiping during the day, praying to God, if I'm never talking to my neighbor, I let a week go by and I don't even think about talking to a neighbor about Jesus, I know something's wrong. My priorities are all mixed up. And I need to get that list changed and put the things that are important at the top and make sure those are not knocked off. There may be some here this morning who are not in right relationship with the Lord, you know that you're not saved, you know that you don't have the hope of eternal life. Maybe because you're not a Christian, you've never been born again, you've never given your life to Jesus. Then make that commitment to Him this morning. Jesus is the only Savior. There's no other Savior than Him. And He calls upon you to come to Him that you might be saved. And we encourage you to come to Jesus. Come to Him believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of all sins. Turn away from sin. Commit to Him. To obey Him in all things. Confess your faith in Him. Don't be ashamed of Him. And then be baptized. That's an immersion in water for the remission of your sins. That's what Jesus commanded. And if you'll do that, then the Lord will save you. He'll add you to His church, His saved body of people. And if you'll serve Him faithfully, conscientious about the decisions you make in life, wanting to please Him in all things, then you can be assured that you'll have a home with Him after this life is over. If you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, your priorities have all been mixed up and you're just not putting God first in your life, then repent of that. Go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you. God is faithful and just to forgive. And then get out there and just serve Him faithfully. If you want the prayers of the brethren, we encourage you to come and we'll pray on your behalf. If any are subject to this invitation, please come as we stand and sing.